This people, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But not us. Amen. God is nigh us. He's even inside of us. He's got walking up and down in me. My Father and I will not leave you comfortless, but we will come to you. We will walk up and down in you. We will live in you. Jesus said, I will come unto you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, God in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And His word is truth. I say His word is truth. Amen. And tonight, as God has dealt with me, I come up with a word. Amen. This word, amen, the Lord revealed to me many years ago. Amen. There was a preacher. Amen. His name is Brother Billy Cole. He's a wise man. And he said, isn't it a funny thing how that a singer can receive a song from God and they'll sing it the rest of their lives? Amen. But if a preacher gets a message from God, he only preaches it once. Now listen, this man was wise and he said, let me tell you something. If your message is only worth preaching once, it wasn't worth preaching the first time. Hallelujah. God's word. God's word holds true. And amen. When I come back into the Lord 9 years ago, as far as I can recollect, 99%, every sermon I've preached, I've kept. Every sermon I preached, I kept. Because a preacher told me, he determines what type of minister you are by how you handle his message. Listen, he said, if I go out to your car and find your Bible thrown in the back floor and your papers all over the place, you don't got much respect for the Word of God or your message. Amen. This is my baby. Amen. I birthed this. God give it to me. So it's precious to me. Amen. And so I say, Lord, what would you have spoken? And it saves a lot of legwork when the Lord puts a thought back on you and you've got the message. Hallelujah. They got these internets now and they got these fast computer things and my son can do it, but I can't. He can go in there and type up a word and he'll throw up every scripture in the Bible that ever talked about it. And I'm in there just thinking, now where did I read that? And I'm searching back and forth. I know it's over in the New Testament. I got the new and the old separated. I know it's over here. Now I got to go look for it. Amen. And said, but praise God. Tonight, I titled the message, Until. U-N-T-I-L, Until. We should not, we will not, I will not be satisfied in our walk with Jesus Christ until we see the full glory and the power of God manifested by the Holy Ghost in us, the church, the body of Christ. Jesus said, amen, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall preach this gospel in Judea, Samaria, and to uttermost parts of the earth. I will not be satisfied. We must not be complacent. We must not be satisfied with the status quo. We must desire more of God. There are higher heights and there are deeper depths. Amen, and to this gospel and to those that seek it. But the Word of God tells me that the Word of the Lord says Jesus has given us 9 gifts of power. There is one Holy Ghost, but there's 9 gifts of that safe and same Spirit. And the Word tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, if you wish to read along with me, amen. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, is it a marvelous thing that our Lord God give us the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And then he says, now in this Spirit, there is 9 special gifts that I will give unto the body of Christ for the edifying of the church. Amen. That I will give accordingly, amen, by faith. And here the Word of God says in verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit of God the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. "He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." God will give us wisdom in the knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe this wisdom is not man's wisdom. I believe that this wisdom is of God, and it is to reveal unto you, amen, how to handle the knowledge of God. There's the gift of wisdom. There's the gift of knowledge. Wisdom, amen, to be able to use the knowledge that God has given you. The Bible says that King Solomon, that he said he found it a traversity, a sad thing, that there are those that have knowledge and don't know how to use it. God give them knowledge, but no wisdom. We must pray for wisdom and knowledge. And I've heard this word of knowledge by some preachers. They believe it where they can look upon a crowd and say, "Well, you got cancer, you got this, you got that, and I just got it by the word of knowledge." I do not believe that is the word of knowledge at all. Amen. If it would be anything, it would be discerning the spirits. But I believe that knowledge is knowledge in what thus saith God. Amen. These gifts, amen, are for the body, for the edification of the body. I want wisdom of God. I want knowledge in the Word. I want to be able to use my knowledge by the wisdom that God gives me. To another, He gives the gift of faith by the same Spirit. Now, we know we all have a portion of faith. We know, amen, that God has given every man a portion of faith. But there is a special gift of faith that is given by the Spirit of God for the body of Christ. To another, there is the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Gifts of healing. To another, there is working of miracles. To another, there is the gift of prophecy. And to another, there is discerning of spirits. To another, there is diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, there is interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh by the one and same self-same Spirit, dividingly to every man severally as God wills. Amen. Now, I tell you tonight, amen, that the Holy Ghost is in us and those gifts are present. And God can use those gifts through any one of us by faith. Amen. As God moves upon you. Amen. You prophesy according to your portion of faith. Seeing as how you desire spiritual gifts, whether you should covet to prophesy. Now, we know according to the Word of God, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. But here the Word of God says, amen, Paul said, seeing as how you desire these spiritual gifts, then you should covet rather to prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Amen. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that speaketh in a prophecy, he edifies the church. Amen. Now, these gifts, now I believe by the Word of God that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. I believe that this, amen, the Word of God says that on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And when it was interpreted by those that were there, knew that language, it was glorifying and it was magnifying God. It was not a message to the church. Amen. It was a glorification. God's Spirit unites with your spirit, cries out, Abba, Father. I believe that God Almighty takes control of one's vocal cords. And God gives glory unto himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe it's for every believer. Now, the church world today places tongues in one category. And they go on where the Word of God says, do all prophesy, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. And therefore, they say it's not meant for everyone to speak in tongues. Amen. But I beg your pardon, amen, because by his word, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as a glorification to God. So we preach and teach that there's the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. Amen. But once you have received that, then there's these nine special gifts of power. And in those special gifts, there is a gift of speaking in an unknown tongue for a message to the church. Amen. I recognize by the Holy Ghost the difference, because in church, when we're worshiping and praising God and someone begins to magnify the Lord and begins to speak in other tongues, we do not look for an interpretation. We know that that is worship between that person and God in heaven. But when a person begins, amen, to speak in an unknown tongue, amen, the Spirit moves upon the congregation, and everyone knows that God wants to speak to the church. Amen. And I know, amen, the Word of God tells me that if you speak in an unknown tongue, you better pray to interpret. Amen. You don't put that responsibility on your brother or your sister. Amen. But the Bible says, amen, that you yourself should pray to interpret. Amen. Now, we know that there are those that have the gift of interpretation of tongues. And if we know that gift's in operation in our church, and we know God has got that anointing on a person, amen, hallelujah. But Paul said, if there is not an interpreter, then to be quiet in the church. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words in my known language that I may edify the church than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. But he went on to say, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. Wisdom. Hallelujah for wisdom. Praise God for wisdom. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Do not make the Word of God void by your custom. Amen. Don't take away from the Word of God because of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. It is impossible for me to comprehend and understand how the Word of God can speak and people can take this and mislead it into something else. Amen. I know by the Word of God. Now, why did I get off onto this? Though I speak with tongue of men and angels, and I have not charity, it has become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It means nothing. Though I have all power, though I can prophesy, amen, though I have all faith, if I have not charity, charity is the love of God. It's Christ-like love for one another. He says, if I have not this, it profit me nothing. He goes on to say, though I give my body, I sell everything I have, and I give it to the poor, and I get my own body to be burnt, if I have not godly love, charity, it profits me nothing. Where there's tongues, they'll cease. Where there are prophecies, they'll fail. But charity never fails. And then the Word of God goes on to say, through those scriptures, that's in the book of Romans, I believe. I believe it's in chapter 13. Amen. But the Word of God says, amen, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And the denominational church will say that speaking in tongues and prophecy and faith is childish. Now that's foolish. And it's foolish. The Word of God says that God, through wisdom, chose that man would never know God through wisdom. That man's wisdom is foolishness to God, and God's wisdom is foolishness to man. But God chose, amen, the things which aren't, amen. He chose the base things. He chose those things that people don't accept. Amen. And God's wisdom is greater than man. The Bible even says that the foolishness of God, if there be such a thing, is wiser than men. And by wisdom, no man shall ever know him. Folks, when Paul said that by wisdom God chose that men would never know him, he went on to say, not very many wise in this world, not very many noble in this world, not very many renowned in this world, not very many rich are called according to this calling, because to them it's foolishness. Amen. Amen. Hear me. Hear me. Don't be overly educated. I'm not against education, but don't become wise in your deceits. The problem is that when you get man's wisdom, you get man's vanity. And when you get man's vanity, man becomes God. Hear what I have to say. There's 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost, and I will not be satisfied. We as a church body, we should never be satisfied until we see the gifts of the Holy Ghost in operation in the church. Saints, we should never be satisfied or content in our spiritual walk with God until we see all 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost in operation in the body of Christ, in us, the church of the living God. Jesus gives the church these 9 gifts to edify the body of Christ, to lift up one another, to minister to the needs of the body, the spiritual and the physical, to comfort us. The Holy Ghost is our comfort. The Holy Ghost is our comfort. I'm here to tell you today that these gifts are real, that these gifts are still in operation. And by the very words of Paul, we know by the word of God that that word was written as a letter. It wasn't in chapters. It wasn't in verses. And as soon as you get done reading in the last chapter, verse 13, or chapter 13 in the book of Romans, chapter 14 says, seeing is how you desire these spiritual gifts. That should tell you something. He said we should desire to prophesy. Prophecy. The brother spoke it earlier. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the very spirit of prophecy. Prophecy isn't always thus saith the Lord to an individual. The word of God is a book of prophecy. This word, when God reveals it to you, amen, it's prophetic. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the word of God says, and he, Jesus, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why did the Lord put apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers in the church? The word of God says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. My son Ronnie is very big on when there's unity, there will be revival. Amen. When there's unity. Here in the Word of God, amen, the Word says that this, they give this, that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Is not the gift of faith one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Is not knowledge one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Until we all come into the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, what is the knowledge of the Son of God? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We should never be satisfied until we see the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers operating in the church. Church, do not be complacent, but be hungry and thirsty after God's gifts, and you shall be filled. If you did not ask, if you did not knock, if you did not seek, you would never have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't desire the gifts of the Holy Ghost, you're never going to receive them. We should never be satisfied until we see the manifestation of the 9 fruits of the Spirit of God. Now hear me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You'll never be judged. You'll never be condemned with the fruits of the Spirit. Now praise God for the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And thank God for the fruit of the Spirit. By this all men shall know you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Greater love hath no man than this, that he'd lay down his life for a friend. And Jesus Christ said, you are my friends. He said, if you were a servant does not know what his master's about. He said, but I have called you my friends. Amen. The word of God tells me, but we do know, for we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Folks, if you don't have love for your fellow man, if you don't have love of Christ, there's supposed to be joy in serving God. Jesus said, in me you shall have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Love and joy in the midst of your trials, your tribulations, and your persecutions. He did not say we weren't going to face trials and tests and persecutions, but in Jesus we're going to have peace, love, and joy. We're to be long-suffering. We're to be gentle. Now, does that sound like a manly attribute? To be contrite, to be meek, to be temperate. Amen. This is a strong man or a strong woman. This is not a sign of weakness. Our Lord was not weak, but he was meek and lowly. That's what the Word of God says. He, though he were God, when he found himself in the form of a man, amen, he became obedient unto the Father. Even obedient unto the death of the cross. Think about what the Word of God is saying. The Word of God, Paul spoke to Timothy. And he said, son Timothy, if you're a minister, if you're going to pastor, if you're going to evangelize, if you're going to be part of this fivefold ministry and teach, then the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, with meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, their own worst enemy. Instructing those that oppose themselves, peradventure, that perhaps God will give them repentance. What? To the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, which are taken by Satan at his will. These folks oppose their own selves. And therefore, we can't debate them. Amen. We can't be in contention with them. Amen. We have got to have Christ-like attributes. We can't fight them. Amen. But we got to be gentle. That doesn't mean we're weak. We must be meek. That don't mean we're compromisers. Amen, but we've got to do this with love. Jesus spoke to his disciples when he was on his way and had his face set towards Jerusalem, and when he had to go through the city of Samaria, and his apostles went ahead to prepare a place for him to rest, and when Jesus went by, the Samaritans refused to let Jesus rest. The word says, for they saw that he had his face set towards Jerusalem. He had an appointment he had to make, and they refused him, amen, rest. And his disciples, I believe it was James and John or John and Peter, but the disciples said, Lord, would you want us to call fire down out of heaven like Elijah did and destroy them? And Jesus rebuked them and said, you do not understand what spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but that through him men might be saved. If Samaria had been destroyed, Philip would have never had the opportunity to preach the gospel to them and then receive salvation. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's called wisdom. We can be zealous. I'm going to tell you, there was a man named Saul. He was very zealous. I mean, even above all his brethren. Amen. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't slothful. Amen. He wasn't satisfied to persecute the church in Jerusalem. Amen. He got letters of warrants, and he went out looking for them. Hear what I have to say. Amen. It takes a wise man to win a soul. It takes a wise man to win a soul. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me find my place. Thank you, Jesus. We should never be satisfied until we see the fruits of the Spirit working in us. Now, I'll tell you, you can fool men, but you can't fool God. And out of the abundance of your mouth, No, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth shall speak. If you're around someone long enough, what's down in here is going to come out here. Whoops. Amen. If it's dirty down in here, it's going to eventually come out your mouth. Amen. And since we're on the mouth, we'll just say this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Ah, God covered it all. Amen. No loopholes in the Lord. Amen. But we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. We should never be satisfied until we see the dead raised, the blinded eyes open, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and to see the lost saved. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. Look what Jesus did. Amen. He did what we just now spoke. And yet he said, greater works than these shall you do, for I go to my Father. Amen. I will not be satisfied until I see the manifestations of the gifts of God, which was ordained for the church, the body of Christ. Signs and wonders followed the apostles. Signs and wonders followed Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, when I come to you, show me the power. Not enticing words of men's wisdom, not teachers with itchy ears, but show me the power. Hallelujah. Show me the power. Amen. This is our inheritance. Did you catch that? This is, amen, what was promised to us. This is our inheritance from Christ. This is the promise from Jesus. Folks, it may seem foolish, but you can pray for 20/20 vision. You can pray for teeth when you have none. Jesus went about healing all that were afflicted of the devil. Jesus, it said in his word, he healed the maimed. He can put an arm back on you. He can put a leg back. Oh, no. Yes, he can. Let all men be a liar, but God's word's truth. Yeah. Amen. It is our faith. Jesus said, if only you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Lord, that's a foolish prayer to pray to put an arm back on a person. Is it? Is it? Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. Amen. It wasn't impossible for him. A God that created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He can do all things. Amen. There's not going to be anything impossible with him. Amen. Signs followed the apostles. They went into a city. And I'm telling you, folks, when they proclaimed this word of God, if they did not have any power behind them, they would have been laughed at and they would have been scorned and they would have been ridiculed that they were false. Amen. There's many false gods, but there's only one true God. And we serve that one true God. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 17, by the way, the word of God is precious. Hear me. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then, brother, how can you hear without a preacher? And then how can you preach lest you be sent? How beautiful are the feet. When I was a young man, when I used to stomp, I'd actually make the bones of my feet sore. Yeah, that's truth. Amen. I got my exercise when I was in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was getting my exercise in the church right up until I moved down here. Hallelujah. Hear what I'm saying. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. Because where I come from, hallelujah, I was the ringleader. Hallelujah. I would worship God. But you see, there was a reason for that. Through the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save those that might believe. This Holy Ghost is contagious. Give God a sacrifice of praise. People think, oh, it's easy for Brother Perry because he just does it. No, that's not true. Amen. I would come into the church and I would do my best to get my mind off of flesh, get my mind on God, and to worship Him even though I didn't feel it, because I had a little bit of wisdom. I knew the Word of God. The Word of God says, amen, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. If I be lifted up, Jesus will lift you up. You begin to worship God and begin to praise God, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. You will begin to praise God. You begin to say, hallelujah. You notice how we pronounce that? Not just hallelujah. No, hallelujah. Amen. I started doing that. Hallelujah. And someone told me, you know, that's how the Jews say that. That's what they told me. They said, that's how the Jews, when they say hallelujah. It's not just hallelujah. It's hallelujah. What happens, you begin to doing that. Hallelujah. And you will feel that spirit come up in you, and you almost have to stop yourself from speaking in tongues. That's true. Glory, hallelujah. All I got to do is praise God. It's always there. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He give me that gift. Hallelujah. And if I will worship Him, it just comes automatically. But I will tell you this. It doesn't make me any more holy than anybody else. Amen. I had people say to me, how could you worship and praise God like you did and then turn and walk away? And I said, well, when you've been through what I've been through and you wish you were dead, then you might understand. Hallelujah. Well, I'd fear God. Well, I did. That particular person that told me that backslid later. And as far as I know, they never made it back. You be careful the accusation you make against the man of God. We're living in a day and time nobody has any respect for anybody. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Don't touch anybody in the body of Christ. We're all ministers. But especially, don't lay a stumbling block before the man of God is preaching the word of God to you. Hallelujah. You hold him up. Amen. You pray for him. That's just a little extra. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, do you believe it? In my name they shall cast out devils. I'm going to give you a great revelation tonight. There's still demons out there. There's still devils out there. And as a matter of fact, one third of an uncountable number of God's angels sided with Satan and became demonic, and I can't even put a number on them. As far as I know, there might be one for every man, woman, and child in existence. Amen. Do you ever wonder how Satan hears everything so quick? He's not God. He's not everywhere present. Amen. And you've heard the story about guardian angels. I don't pray to my guardian angel. If there's one there, I ain't praying for him. Amen. Let him pray for me. Hallelujah. I'll direct all my prayers to Jesus Christ. I go straight to the source. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a good thought to think there's one there protecting me. But Jesus is everywhere. If he wants to have a ministering spirit, amen, come to me. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. I can say, glory, adios. Amen. You know, that almost comes natural now after 2 years of saying that. Hallelujah. I can speak in other tongues and not even be the Spirit of God. Glory to Dios. That's another language. Amen. But those Latinos know what that word means. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In my name they'll cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. New languages. They shall take up serpents. No, we're not snake handlers. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Church, I'm talking about Holy Ghost power. Amen. In my name, Jesus said, you're going to cast out devils. Amen. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen. Jesus told the devil, get behind me, Satan. And by the way, when Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil, Jesus didn't argue with Satan. He said, it is written, You need to get rooted and grounded in the faith and sound in doctrine that when Satan comes against you, you can say, it is written. Amen. You're a liar and you're the father of it. Amen. When you speak a lie, you're speaking of your own. Amen. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. He is a deceiver. He's a trickster. Amen. He wants to, amen, cause you to misinterpret. He has no power except what God allows him to have. Hear me. There's not a contest between God and Satan. Satan is a defeated enemy from the beginning. It just happens that our God's long-suffering. He's just suffering with that situation that you and I might be saved. And that you and I might go through a test. And that you and I might go through a trial. And you and I might go through a persecution. Hear me. God did not create Satan. God created a beautiful angel, Lucifer, the angel of the morning. And he was perfect and full of wisdom from the time he was created. Think of that. But by the reason of his own brightness, pride come in. Pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And God desires obedience more than sacrifice. Amen. And rebelliousness is the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness. Rightly divide the word of truth. In the word of God, there was a serpent in the garden, and that serpent was Lucifer. Not only are we going to cast out devils, but we're going to take up serpents. We got power over the devil. We're not going to tempt God and go out and handle snakes and be carnal and tempt the Lord God Almighty. That is not God. And if I drink any deadly thing, I'm not drinking poison. I don't have to do that to show my faith. I'm not going to tempt God. Satan wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to tempt God. If you be the Son of God, throw yourself down off of this temple, this pinnacle. For it is written, Satan told him the word of God. Thy angel shall pick thee up, lift thee up, lest thou dice thy foot against the stone. Jesus said, it is written, amen, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan wasn't tempting the eternal spirit in heaven. Satan was tempting the man Jesus Christ. So I'm saying to you, we'll have power. If someone tries to teach you false doctrine and tries to get you to digest it, tries to get you to drink it, I'll tell you what will happen. Being a child of God, amen, you can be in a service, even in the church. And someone will say something it is not of God, and it'll tickle your ear and it'll sound good and you'll be almost persuaded. Just almost. Because later the Holy Ghost will deal with you and you'll go around that in your mind and God will put you right back into sound doctrine. That sound doctrine will save you. That'll keep you from being blown of every wind of doctrine. And you will not be an unstable man. But God will give you wisdom. Wisdom. Hallelujah. This word of God is precious, folks. There's nothing like the Word of God. Amen. There are many different type of ministries. All of them of God. But if it was all the eye, where would be the hearing? If it was all the hearing, where would be the smelling? But God has given us this fivefold ministry of evangelists, pastors, teachers, the apostles, prophets, for the perfecting of the saints. And you must walk in your calling. Your trouble is going to come in when you want to copy somebody else. If God has called you in one type of ministry, then you perfect it. And you'll be comfortable in it. Amen. My personal ministry, I've said, Lord, I'd like to be more of a I like to be more of a jumper and a shouter. But I can't. I had a pastor tell me, he said, you know what your calling is and your ministry is? I said, what? He said, you're a word preacher. I'd never heard that before. And I thought about that. And I, well, you know, yeah, maybe I am. because God has it differently. If the church was given the same type of message all the time, no matter how good it is, you would become slow of hearing. You would sleep. You would slumber. A little folding of the hands. Because you see, God uses all type of ministry. Amen. He uses the stories. I said, Lord Jesus, I would surely like to be a man that could preach out of the Old Testament. I'd like to be able to take those characters, like I hear all these other preachers do, and build my sermon around it. Rarely it happens. Rarely I can get just a few words, but technically what ends up happening, I'm still teaching a word. I still go back and quote the scriptures and build my story from the scriptures. Amen. Amen. And I'm too old to change now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't believe that he wants me to change. He likes me just like I am. Amen. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, you allow us to have the faith, pray the prayer, that a miracle takes place, you'll fill the house. They might be coming for the feast and the loaves, but yet they're going to hear. They're going to hear. Some's going to fall on rocky ground. Some's going to be on the wayside. Some's going to, amen, be on the good ground. I'll be going along. James chapter 5, verse 13. The word of God will save your soul. In the middle of the night, when Satan attacks, and you can't call on your pastor, you better have the word of God in you. Because you're not going to be able to tell the devil, wait a little bit until I get this scripture and I'll tell you. Amen. Is any among you afflicted? Verse 13, James chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. You're going through trials and tests. You're afflicted of the devil. You pray for yourself. Is any merry? Are you happy tonight? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Listen to the word of God. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, this is a person in the church, they shall be forgiven him. Wow. Now, I hear this scripture all the time. It doesn't say anywhere in there that he's going to heal you. He'll forgive you. It's the next verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's verse 16. Oh, no, God, I'm not confessing my sins to nobody. Amen. I'm not Catholic, and I'm not going in that booth, and I'm not saying no Hail Marys, and I'm not paying no penance. No, I'll take myself to the Lord. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. If you want to have a ministry, you got to be well spoken of to those that are without as well as those that are within. Amen. Don't let Satan deceive you into thinking that you have to get down into the dirt and the detail of your situation. That does not give God glory. Amen. You can confess your faults one to another without becoming a reproach. Because everybody isn't spiritual. You watch who you tell what. Because they can ruin your reputation. And I'll tell you something. That old story, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is another lie. Words will kill you. You can kill with the tongue. So when Brother Perry tells you to confess your faults one to another, amen, keep it general. Now, if God wants to reveal it to him through the Spirit, hallelujah. And he will. But the one that he reveals it to is not going to damage you. If you see your brother sin a sin that's not unto death, I'll have you pray for him and you can save that brother. There is a sin that's not unto death. So now we're in the next category. Oh no, all sin's the same. No big sin, no little sin. But yet the Bible says that all sin is not unto death. If you repent of it. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you repent of it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. Well, we'll leave that one there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, do not settle for a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Our God is not weak. I'm not playing church. I ain't put my life into this for nothing. If this religion's vain, then I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink and I'm going to be merry for tomorrow I die. Amen. Yes, I'd like to say I'm serving God because I love Him. And I am now. But I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to a place of damnation and weeping and wailing and gnashing the teeth where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. I don't want to go to that terrible place. I want to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Confess your faults. We are the sons of God. We are the children of Jesus Christ. We should never be satisfied in our walk with God until we see our unsaved loved ones born again of the water and the Spirit. If you don't have love for your loved ones, if you don't even desire your own to be saved, you better pray that God will give you a burden for your loved ones. Amen. I don't want to see anybody lost. Until we see our friends and our neighbors saved. Until revival fills the church. We should never be satisfied until we see the power of God, the glory of God. Do not be spiritually slothful. Lazy. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands. I can see it. A little sleep. It's just like you're in a casket. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands of sleep. Sudden destruction. Sudden destruction is going to come upon you.